policies hard. Well, it's not hard for God. He knows all. He knows the beginning and the end and everything in between. So we're going to see what the Lord says about all this prophecy tonight. I have loved being here at Bible Baptist Church. I have just loved it. Thank you for letting me come. Pastor, thank you for inviting me to be here. I'd heard about the church, and I'm so thankful to have been here. Brother Adam, thank you for all you do around this place. And Brother Adam is excited about the prospects of this bus that has been offered to us. And to have a bus ministry, we have to have a bus captain, have to have a bus driver, and at least two more workers. We need a chaperone, someone to be on the bus. That could be someone of any age, just sitting on the bus and being a good presence, and maybe taking attendance or some small duties like that. And then we need a runner. That's not everybody. Some people in this room, really, they don't want to run a lot anymore. That's not what they're good at anymore. But there are some people that's a wonderful job for a young person, that they just run to the door and help get the children safely onto the bus. So it's going to take four good workers. And I am so excited about the prospect of this bus coming right here, given to us. And I'm so glad Brother Adam is excited about it. Brother Harold leading all his singing, thank you, sir. And Miss Connie playing and all the special music. And the class tonight, we had a good time with the class. Now let's find out about tracts, and then we got to get into the Bible. Let's find out about tracts. How many of you gave a tract out since last night? Would you raise your hands? Okay, very good. Got several of us, good. And again, tonight as you leave, get some more tracts. I'm going to continue to give out Bible Baptist tracts until I get to my next location. I'm flying first thing in the morning out of Indianapolis. Be flying to Greenville, South Carolina, God willing. And so I'll be departing after the service. Now, I'm not going to leave immediately after the service, but 30 or 40 minutes after the service, I'm going to get on the road because I'm going to lose an hour tonight. Isn't that true? Man, what time is it? It's already 8:27 on my body clock. Whew, I got to get with it, man. I got to get into preaching. Matthew 24, did I tell you the chapter? Oh, I didn't tell you the chapter. Matthew 24. Sorry about that. And Brother Adam, we still have some CDs left, don't we? And it's your job to get rid of all of them tonight, man. That would be successful. And let's do what we can on that. And whatever we can't, we just pack up and take to the next place. But Brother Adam, thank you for helping with that. They're any size donation. I wish you'd get several, and even just give them as presents would be a good thing, given Christian literature. Now, the title of tonight's message, Signs of the End Times. Signs of the End Times. This is what Jesus said about it. Matthew 24. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, here's what he said to the disciples. Look what he said. He said, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. The title of tonight's message, Signs of the End Times. The copy of the Word of God that I have tonight, just above verse 3, it has a little headline saying Signs of the End Times. That's where I got the title for the sermon. Signs of the End Times. Now, some opening remarks. The second coming of Jesus Christ is a major doctrine. It's not a little something, friends. It's a major doctrine. In the Old Testament, the second coming of Christ is referred to 1,200 times. In the New Testament, 300 times the second coming of Jesus is talked about. Now, many people have tried to set dates of when Jesus is going to come. Now, back in 1988, all right, let's see. 1929, how many years ago? 31 years ago. That's what I thought. 31 years ago. How many of you folks are less than 30 years old? Raise your hands real high. Okay. Some people trying to raise arms that doesn't apply to you. All right. A little over 30 years ago, 31 years ago, a man wrote a book, 88 Reasons Why the Lord's Coming Back in 1988. I got the book. Somebody mailed it to me, came in the mail to me. Someone gave it to me, mailed it to me. Foolish book. Water boils at 212 degrees and so on the 212th day. And just crazy things in this book. Did Jesus come in 1988? No. The man wrote a book, 89 Reasons. Nobody bought that book. No. Back in the 70s, I've got the record. Record, not cassette, not 8-track, record, vinyl record. I've got it. The church will never see 1980. The rapture will have already taken place, a pastor said. I'll tell you what, I was a young Christian pastor. I heard that preacher say that, talking about aggressive, confrontational soul winning. Boy, I went after it. Because I thought the preacher was right. I didn't know. I was a brand new Christian. And boy, I was telling everybody, you better get saved before 1980. Jesus is coming. You know, you got to be careful who you listen to. You can listen to someone who sounds authoritative and sound like you know what he's talking about, but that man turned out he didn't know what he's talking about. And he speculated, and he got me in on it, and Jesus did not come by 1980. So even tonight, I promised you I would tell you my opinion. So I better do that right now before I forget. I teased you just a little bit last night. I gave you a little teaser. I said I would tell you if I thought that the Antichrist was alive today. You want to know my opinion? Anybody? Please? Here is my opinion. Is the Antichrist alive today, Brother Fox? Here is my opinion. If Jesus Christ comes back to earth tonight, which he may, if Jesus comes back tonight, then I believe the Antichrist is probably alive. However, if Jesus doesn't come for another 1,000 years, I don't think the Antichrist is probably alive tonight. So, Brother Fox, what are you saying? I'm saying I don't know. And nobody knows. Nobody can dogmatically, with total assurance, know whether the Antichrist is alive or not. None of us do. Now, God knows. God knows. In fact, God knows when he's going to send Jesus. But we don't know. But the Bible does tell us some things. For example, the Bible says, talks about the imminent return of Christ. The Bible says that the coming of Christ is at the doors. That's a phrase from the Bible about the second coming of Christ. So, the first time that Jesus came, the first time Jesus came, he came as a baby. But the next time he comes, he's not coming as a baby. He's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, the Bible is a book of prophecy. Oh, yeah. It's a more sure word of prophecy. A lot of folks claim they can tell the future. Astrologers. Astrologists. You know. And some of them have about a 30% accuracy record. That's what they claim. I mean, if they're so good, why isn't it 100%? They say, well, get 30% right. Yeah, because sometimes they say things like this. We believe it will be cold this winter. Well, that's not much of a prophecy. You know, I've been living long enough, I know it usually is cold in the winter, you know. Leave astrology and horoscopes alone. Amen to that. And so the Bible is the more sure word of prophecy, 2 Peter 1. Now, at the very beginning, these are still opening remarks. I've got 8 points tonight. The opening passage of this, Jesus gave a prophecy. In the opening, in verse 1 and 2, in verse 2, everybody look at your Bible. Verse 2, Jesus said, see not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here. This temple, you see this temple, disciples? There shall not be left here, this temple, not one stone. There shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, they were standing right there by the temple. The temple was beautiful. And I wonder if the disciples thought, Lord Jesus, that seems unreasonable. This temple is glorious. This temple is beautiful. And you're saying it's going to be torn down and Lord Jesus, that just sounds unreasonable. Some people think that about the Bible. They think the Bible is just unreasonable. Now, Jesus said it was going to happen. Did it happen? Oh, yeah. A.D. 70, the Romans came and destroyed the temple. So what sounded perhaps unreasonable to the disciples themselves actually came to pass. Jesus has never been wrong. Amen to that. Well, I've got 8 D's for you tonight. 8 D's. Now, boys and girls, if you come home with a report card and say, hey, parents, look what I made. 8 D's. That's not a good report card. It's really not. But these 8 D's, as a memory device, I use D's for tonight's sermon. What are some signs of the end times? What are some signs? Well, sign number one, deceivers. Deceivers. Look what Jesus said. Jesus said deceivers are one of the signs of the end times. Look at verse 4 and 5. Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you. Look at your Bible, verse 5. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Deceivers. Jesus here warns that many deceivers will come. And friends, they have. In fact, on the earth right now, there are about 100 people claiming to be Jesus Christ. Right now, I've seen two of them with my own eyes professing to be Jesus. I saw one of them down in Texas. He's claiming to be Jesus. And he claims he has 2 million followers, too. He may be lying about that, too, because he's lying. He is not Jesus. He's not. There's people around the world claiming to be Jesus. What are they? They're deceivers. They're false. They're deceivers. They're false prophets. They're lying and they're deceiving people. Now, the word antichrist means opposing Christ, or it means instead of Christ. And these folks, they're just swaying people. Now, in this room, let's refuse to be swayed by these deceivers. Amen. But we understand that these deceivers are just a sign of the end times. So of the 8 signs that we're going to look at tonight, the first one is deceivers. The second sign is divisions. Divisions. Oh, we're seeing this today. Verse 6 and 7. Now, this is all Jesus speaking. When you study the Bible, always notice who's speaking. Now, Jesus is speaking here in verse 6 and 7. Jesus said in verse 6, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye not be not troubled. Ye disciples, listen, be not troubled when you hear all those wars and rumors of wars. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places." Several things to note about these divisions. Do you know that wars have been fought for thousands of years? There's a professor named Quincy that put together a giant book entitled A Study of War. And he documents war after war after war after war after war, 63 wars by Spain, 78 wars by Great Britain, on and on, all the wars of America. War, war, war. Do you know that war is increasing? It's not decreasing. That's my opinion, and I'll tell you why I came to that opinion. You study. You get Quincy Jones. You get Quincy Jones' book, A Study of War, and you look at all the casualties that he documents in all these wars for the past 6,000 years. You document, and you look. I want to tell you something, friends. If you're listening, say amen. Let me tell you something astounding. Half of the casualties of war in that book, half have taken place in the last 100 years. World War I, World War II, so many casualties. And you know, there's 20-some wars going on right now. And then in this little section about divisions, did you notice the word nations? As a child and as a teenager and so forth, I did not understand the difference between a nation and a country. I thought they were the same. No, they're not the same. They're not the same. In the world right now, we have, 210, 220. It keeps vacillating back and forth how many exact countries we have. But there's somewhere between 200 and 240, somewhere in that neighborhood. But there are thousands of nations. How do you define nations? Well, people by their culture and by their language. I mean, there's thousands of languages. We all know that, right? And there's many, many, many nations. Many nations. With that in mind, because just inside of our one country, we have many nations, many heritages, many cultures. Have you ever, you that are my age, have you ever seen more division in America? Well, there have been times of division all along. There was a civil war. That was awful. But I'll tell you, there's a lot of division today within our own country. It's so dangerous in some of our cities. Chicago, it's dangerous. Memphis. I was in an inner city, one of our inner cities. I was sleeping inside of the church. Very, very dangerous area. I locked all the doors. I said, "Lord, I'm exhausted. I'd like to have some sleep, please." I said, "Lord, would you please put a couple angels on that door and keep me safe tonight?" And I went to sleep, friends. I rested in the Lord. Do you know someone was stabbed to death right outside the church door that night? All kinds of mischief in our country going on. Vandalism, mischief, meanness, nasty stuff. Divisions. And the world's divided. You know, president after president after president have said, "We're going to move the United States Embassy in Israel. We're going to move it to Jerusalem." Lots of presidents said it, but none of them did it. And suddenly the fellow who's in office now, he just went ahead and did it. Some people were happy about it. I was happy about it. I try to pray for Jerusalem every single day. I prayed for Jerusalem a little bit today. The Bible says pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And I was happy. I was happy that United States embassy moved to Jerusalem. Was everybody in the world happy about that? No. No, the world's pretty divided about that. Even the city of Jerusalem, it's a world-class city. I've been there. It's a world-class city. But the city of Jerusalem is very divided. Itself is very... Oh, these divisions, 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 divisions. Our world is divided. What is it? It's signs of the end times. Deceivers, divisions. Let's move on to number three. Disasters. Look at verse 7. Jesus, our Savior, said in verse 7, "For nations shall rise against nations and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers," which means various, "in divers," many places, "in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." Disasters, disasters. Pollution, you think about that. Poor stewardship of crops. Do you know that America has been so blessed? The soil of America has been so blessed of God that we could feed the whole world, except there are mean political leaders who would not allow food relief to come from America to feed starving people. They won't let us feed starving people in the world. You know, one reason I believe God has still blessed America with all the sin in our country, America has been a benevolent country. We've fed our enemies. We've fed people who don't like us. And we'd feed more people if some folks would let us. But there are famines all around the world right now. There are people today using farming methods that are 1,000 years old. And there's famines in their country because they don't know any better. And we could help them, except we're not allowed to help them. All the wars, the hatred, the selfishness. And then here come the famines taking place. And then the word pestilences. Are there pestilences in the world today? Well, you think about the diseases that are running rampant in societies today, that no doctor can find any medical treatment that will work. There's entire groups of people dying, pestilences. And then the word earthquakes. Yeah, do you know that right this moment, listen, do you know right this moment there is an uptick? There is an uptick around the world in megalithic earthquakes. That's a fact. What is all this? It's signs of the end times, friends. Jesus is right. Deceivers, divisions, disasters. Number four, the fourth day, the fourth sign of the end times. Verse 9, Jesus said, "Disciples, then shall they deliver you," you disciples, you Christian folk, "then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." I wrote down the word defamation. Defamation. Those who believe and witness for Jesus will be defamed. Hated. Hated. I've got some people that hate me. I led a young man to Christ on an airplane recently. The flight was 1 hour and 6 minutes long. It was at about 1 hour. But the young man, Bruce, 23 years old, who had just gotten out of jail, his life was a bungled mass of confusion. I took the Bible. Showed him how to be saved. Right after I led him to Christ, the airline worker came down the aisle and looked at me and said, "You've talked about personal things this whole flight." I don't know, Lester Roloff came out of me. I said, sir, are you going up and down this aisle telling everybody quit talking about personal things or just talking to me about it? I don't know. It came out of me, Pastor. I try to be a nice guy. And I don't know. I felt like he was picking on me because I'd been telling folks about Jesus. Nobody around had complained. The worker of the airline. And I hadn't been preaching to the whole plane. I've been preaching to one fellow. And he wanted to hear it. And I'm a Christian. And what's down in the well is what comes up in the bucket. You know what I'm saying? And I've got to talk about Jesus. The airline worker, I sought him out afterwards. I said, sir, I want to apologize. I shouldn't have spoke like that to you. I want you to forgive me for striking back. I said, but sir, you must realize I've got to tell folks about Jesus. I think that worker had taken exception that a man on the plane had become a new convert in Christ. I've had weapons drawn on me because of Jesus. That's not funny at all when you see the shotgun aimed at you. That's not funny at all. And then when they shoot one over your head, that's scary, man. I told you last night I don't want to die being eaten by hungry lions. Well, being shot is not a way I want to go either, you know. But defamation is taking place. I was out door knocking in Winchester, Virginia. Please listen. Out knocking doors. We knocked on about 2,000 doors that week. Me and my preacher boys and folks out of the church. I knocked on this one door. I said, my name is Byron Fox. This is Joel. And I just started talking to him. He was a diplomat. He invited us in his house. We went inside. I said, it's so wonderful getting to meet a diplomat today. And we talked some about his career and the countries he had been to and so on and so forth. I said, well, sir, we're out here telling folks about Jesus Christ. He said, well, I'm a Christian. He said, I'm a Coptic Christian. I said, oh, a Coptic Christian. I said, I've heard of your group. You know, St. Mark's supposed to start. I said, let me ask you some questions, sir. And I went through the gospel of Jesus Christ with him. I said, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Yes, I do. You believe he's divine? Yes. You believe he left heaven and came to this earth exactly the way the Bible says? Yes. You believe he died on the cross? Yes. Do you believe he died for you? Yes. Do you believe that they buried Jesus? Yes, I believe that. Do you believe that he rose from the dead? Yes. Have you depended entirely upon Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone to be your Savior, to rescue you from sin? Is the way that you believe you're going to heaven is only through Jesus Christ? He said, Brother Fox, the only way anyone will get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Well, that's all true. I said, that's wonderful. I said, I've got a question for you. I said you were a Coptic Christian. You've been around the world. I said, when you said you were a Coptic Christian, I said, my mind went to the news. I said, I instantly thought about those 21. When I said the number 21, he said, you mean the 21 Coptic Christians that were beheaded because of their faith in Jesus Christ? The terrorists killed 21 Coptic Christians, beheaded them because of Jesus? I said, yes. I said, Mr. Diplomat, I have a question. You've been around the world. You've seen many things. I said, would it be your opinion? Would it be your opinion that the most persecuted people in all the world are Christians? He said, Brother Fox, without a doubt, the most persecuted people in all the world are Christians. And he began to describe to me slaughterhouses that have been built to extinguish the lives of Christians. Around the world, there are Christians that are dying, that are being killed simply because they love Jesus and have received him as their Savior. What is all this? It's signs of the end times. Whew. Let's move on. Oh, Lord, help the Christians around the world being persecuted. Please, Jesus. Please, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 10. Another sign of the end times, desertion. Boy, I don't like what I'm about to tell you. Verse 10. Then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Desertion. Desertion. When the affliction and the hating and the killings come, there's going to be people who desert the church. Now, unbelievers departing out of the church assemblies, unbelievers, I have some understanding about that. But believers deserting, I don't understand that. There will be real unity in Jesus Christ. But may I continue for a moment? I rarely do something like what I'm going to do. I rarely use current events in a sermon. But last year something happened that I want to refer to. Last year on a TV show in America called The View, one of the ladies on that program mocked Vice President Pence because he was a Christian. He talks to Jesus. He hears from Jesus. Maybe he's got a mental disorder, was suggested. I've had 3 interactions personally with our Vice President. I like him a lot. I believe he knows the Lord. That night, the vice president was interviewed after the show had gone off. Later that day, they interviewed Vice President Pence and said, "Are you aware of what was said about you today?" He said, "Yes, I've been told." He really did not take umbrage for himself. But it had grieved him that the allegation was against all Christians, that maybe all Christians had a little mental disorder. Talking to Jesus, hearing from Jesus. That maybe all Christians were a little mental, disorderly kind of folk. And that it bothered our vice president. Joy Behar is who had made the statement. To Joy Behar's credit, she called the vice president and apologized. I appreciate that. The next day on The View, she made a public apology. She had made the statement publicly, and she made a public apology. I don't watch the show, The View. I don't watch it. I don't even suggest you watch it. But I did go on YouTube to find out what she said in her apology. In her apology, she started this way. She said, "I am a Christian." And my heart sank. Because what I know of her, she does not conduct herself in a way that would make me think she was a Christian. Now, I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ loves Joy Behar. And Jesus Christ died for her. And if Joy Behar would come to Jesus and said, "Lord, would you save me?" Well, Jesus has never turned anyone away that came wanting to really be saved. He's got the power to save her. He can save anyone. I understand people who profess to be Christians that are not really Christians. I understand them deserting. I understand them deserting. But true believers deserting the cause of Christ, the church, I don't understand that. But it's happening. And what is it? It's a sign of the end time. Number 6, disinformation. Disinformation. Verse 11. Signs of the end times, verse 11. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. False prophets are everywhere. and they're spreading their disinformation. False prophets are telling things that are just wrong and bald-faced lies, and they do appear to know things, and they do appear to have philosophies, and they spread their humanist beliefs and their behaviorist beliefs and on. And the false prophet, he's always stressing the rights of man. And their philosophies sometimes are loud. Sometimes they're harsh. Sometimes they're strident. Oh, but they're false. If it's contrary to this book right here, I'm not for it whatsoever. Amen. The true prophet stresses the rights of God. The true prophet stresses the truth of the Bible, the Word of God. And our world is flooded with disinformation. Absolutely flooded. Remember the phrase in the Bible, truth has fallen in the streets? That's occurred in our country. In one day with a phone, a smartphone, you can get more information than people used to get in an entire year. It's not information we need. It's truth that we need. Amen to that. Number 7, signs of the end times. Well, let's take a little breath and see if we remember what they were. Number 1, deceivers. Number 2, divisions. Number 3, disasters. Number 4, defamation. Number 5, desertion. Number 6, disinformation. Got 2 more. Number 7, depravity. Depravity. Chapter 24 and verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Just pure depravity. Our world is losing our ethics. All right, the boys and girls, what are ethics? Ethics are moral principles. The children of our country are being told that there are no fixed standards of right and wrong. And that's not true. There are fixed standards of right and wrong. There are moral principles that we are to live by. And we have a generation of people that are conducting themselves in a lawless fashion. I want to tell you something. God hates lawlessness. Read the book. He hates lawlessness. I'm going up again to Washington, D.C. in March. March 8, 9, and 10 or whatever the dates are. I go at least one time a year. Sometimes I go 5 times a year. Soul winning. Soul winning. Every congressman, I'm talking every senator and every House of Representatives, every one of them has an open door policy. In fact, there are no doors on their offices. You can walk right in. I've got every scheduler's, every congressional member, I've got every scheduler's name and phone number in this phone. When I go up there, I schedule. I said, I'd like a 5-minute appointment with the congressman, please. It's not about policy. I just want to pray with the congressman. At first, they didn't believe me because everybody wants to talk about policy. Everybody wants a favor. Everybody, blah, 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 blah. Let me tell you something. I've got an opinion on every policy, even policies I don't know anything about. But I'm in there to talk to them from the book. I give Bibles to their staffs and meet with chief of staff and meet with the folks. I had a congressman recently say, Brother Fox, what are we supposed to do about illegal immigration? What are we supposed to do? I said, I don't know all the answers. It's a complicated, recondite, complex situation we're in. I said, but I know what the book says. The book says that God, the book teaches that God hates lawlessness. And you said a word. You said illegal immigration. I'm going to pray with you, Mr. Congressman. But friends, God does hate lawlessness. He hates it. God has given us the church, hallelujah. God has given us the home. And God has given us government. And government is to look to God. God, lead us. And the depravity in our world, the lawlessness, the violence, the grossly unfair behavior that's taken place, the impropriety that's taken place, even in our country. What is it? It's just a sign of the end times. Jesus is coming, man. Last one, number 8, declaration. Are y'all still with me? Say amen if you're still with me. Good, all right, yeah. We're getting close to the end. I don't want to lose you now. Number 8, declaration. Jesus Christ makes a declaration. It's powerful. Verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel, now see if I get this right. Verse 14, everybody look at your Bible. And this gospel of the kingdom might be preached in all the world for a witness. Did I get it right? I didn't. This gospel of the kingdom perhaps will be preached. No. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. Some folks are mixed up about verse 13. He that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Simple explanation. We're not saved because we endure. The Bible never teaches that. The Bible never, ever, ever teaches that we're saved because we endure. No, we endure because we are saved. That's a simple explanation. Now, verse 14. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. Preaching the gospel to the whole world. To the whole world, yes. 7.6 billion people. All these thousands of languages. Why, friends, it's easier to get that done today than ever. At one time, people had to make copies of books, including copies of the Bible, by hand. Had to write them. And then a thing called a printing press. Have you ever heard of those? Oh, yeah. That revolutionized how we could get gospel material out and how we could get copies of the Bible out in massive quantities. Yeah, so the printing press, boy, that's helped us. Modern transportation, boy, that has helped. I'm glad that between now and tomorrow, God willing, I will get to Greenville, South Carolina by an airplane. I will not be going by camel. I've ridden a camel. I really don't want to ride a camel all the way to South Carolina, or a horse, or a mule. And I'm glad of all that. I'm glad I'm not even driving. I'm glad I'm going to be going 400 or 500 miles an hour through the air. I went to Australia last year. I flew from Norfolk, Virginia to Chicago to Dallas to Los Angeles, and then flew 16 hours from Los Angeles, California to Sydney, Australia. 16 hours. At 600 and some miles an hour. And I was in a middle seat. Oh, no. I was between two people that weren't very nice. Are we there yet? No, Brother Fox, it's 12 more hours. Oh, no. But I'm glad I didn't have to go to Australia by canoe. You know what I'm saying? Because of modern transportation, I've been on little islands. I've been on little islands, and it's been more than a generation since a preacher went there to give the gospel. Because of modern transportation, I've gone to most states in America, several countries, preaching the gospel. And missionaries are going around the world. I've got a young friend and his wife. They're about 30 years old. They've been in 30 or 40 different countries. They just slip in countries that are kind of anti-Christian. They just kind of slip in and tell some folks about Jesus, and before they get killed, they get back out. I call them gospel nomads. And I'm so glad to try to help and support them. You know, if you can't go, you at least could pray for them and you could support them. They need some funding. They're good folk. Oh, I'm glad because of TV, being able to spread the gospel. I'm glad for radio. Have you heard of this thing called the World Wide Web? Oh, yeah. This gospel shall be preached in all the world. So here's some conclusions now. We're to the end of the message. We've got our eight signs that Jesus gave us. So here's some conclusions. All right, conclusion number one. I like conclusion number one. Conclusion number one, we can trust the Word of God. Hallelujah. Conclusion number two, all Bible prophecies have been fulfilled or will be fulfilled. Amen to that too. Conclusion number three, Jesus Christ is coming again. When's he coming, Brother Fox? I don't know, but I'd be happy if it was tonight. The only reason I wouldn't be happy is I've still got some folks on my prayer list that are not saved. I want them to get saved before Jesus comes. But friends, Jesus is coming again. Conclusion number four, we need to stay busy sharing the gospel. These gospel tracts, these gospel witnesses, us talking to our families, us talking to our neighbors, we talking to folks that work with us, we talking to our friends. We've got to keep doing it. We've got to stay busy sharing the gospel. Conclusion number five, we've got to stay supporting missionaries. Amen to that. I hear that around this place every Wednesday night we take up funds for missionaries. And in addition to that, we give money out of our general giving to missionaries. We can't cut that program. No. One of my businessmen that I help coach his finances, he entirely supports two missionaries on the field. And he gives to many other, there's a church plant he gives $1,200 a month to and on. And he had a little setback a couple months ago, and he said to me, he said, I'm going to cut my missions giving. I said, you have asked me to be a counselor to you about your finances. I'm just going to tell you something. You should not cut your missions giving. I said, you need to sell your fifth car. That Jeep has got to go. I started naming things I needed to sell and keep giving his missions. I'm glad that about one full day later, he called me and said, well, Brother Fox, I'm going to keep my missions giving going. Amen to that. You want the Lord's blessings? Would this church like to keep having the blessings of God on it? Well, then let's stay getting out the gospel. Let's keep supporting missions. And then lastly, the final conclusion, we need to examine ourselves. Is everybody in this room saved? If not, you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight. And then is everybody in this room walking close to God? And is everybody in this room sharing the gospel? When did you last share the gospel with someone? Soon I'm going back to a church that I stayed in someone's home the last time I preached there. An older gentleman and his wife. I say older, they're about 80 years old. The older I get, the younger 80 sounds. The 80-year-old lady has a sister who's lost. While I was there, she wrote a letter to her sister, and she shared the gospel of Jesus Christ. She came to me and said, Brother Fox, would you read the letter and make sure I've done a good job sharing the gospel? She said, I want my sister to be saved. My dad can barely read and write, but I've seen him try to write some things to some people about them getting saved. Would you bow your heads? What are you doing to spread the gospel?